You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
Hey, what's up, William? How you doing, King?
I'm good, King. How you doing tonight?
Doing great, man. So glad to, you know, you actually, matter of fact, I think you was the first one to do a Thought for Rent. You know, that's why we just gonna get this thing and chop it up. You know, ain't no rhyme or reason to it outside of right. You know, when I see a moment to just get on something that I can't typically do on the show, man. I just like to reach out, man. So you always make yourself available. I absolutely appreciate that. Hope my man Michael Sutler, who's been a regular on my show as well, I hope he gets on with us tonight. But we gonna make do. Even if it's just the two of us, man. But just go ahead and just let the cat out of the bag, man. As a matter of fact, it's funny. It's just coming to me right now as we speak. The first time I did a Thought for Rent was prompted the exact same way this one was. You had put something on Facebook that made me say, man, let's talk about that. And you did the exact same thing, man, when you did the post talking about Elon Musk becoming the richest man in the world. You had something to say about that. So, you know, give me some thoughts on it. I'm going to pull that post up itself so I can ask you some questions specifically out of it. But with that said, man, you just kind of said some things, man. What made you jump on that with that man becoming, supposedly the richest man in the world from what I now understand? You understand it better than I do, but go ahead.
Right. Well, I think it's all relative to what's going on today, and I think people kind of miss the relativity and the connection to Elon Musk being the richest man in the world at this day and time, and what he's the richest man in the world for. Like, how did that happen? Why did that happen? And why is that the case? And, you know, my post kind of, you know, it kind of reflected and insinuated that him being the richest man in the world is connected to a lot of the political things we actually see going on today. And there's no coincidence that he is now the richest man in the world. And I kind of, you know, said he was the new Bill Gates, kind of the new Warren Buffett,
mm-hmm.
right, to millennials. And another thing I kind of led into is he's not necessarily the smartest guy in the world. What I was leading to is he's just a very, very big influence, right? And one thing we see today in today's society is the power of influence. And we continue to see that, right, through our media, through our mainstream media. Another thing I always say is I never watch mainstream media for that reason. There's a lot of hype
mm-hmm.
in mainstream media today. There's a lot of, selling going on and hype and, you know,
mm-hmm.
just political. And, being the richest man in the world, it's funny because if you look at Elon Musk specifically and you look at his business, I love to talk business and my background
mm-hmm.
is business. And on paper and on, you know, the books and, you know, on the balance sheet, you know, Elon Musk's business, if you look at Tesla, which everybody knows, pretty much knows him from, most people, you know, they know of Tesla. You know, he's got several different business engagements, but the biggest thing and the most mainstream thing that people know him from is Tesla. And if you look at Tesla on the balance sheet, Tesla is, as far as I know, I don't know, maybe this year, but in years past, they haven't even been profitable. So they're still operating in the red. There's no profitability
mm-hmm.
with that company. So for him to be the richest man in the world speaks kind of volumes as to where
mm-hmm.
the world is going. This, because
yeah.
a lot of his market share is already built in. So when you look at the stock price and you look at the market price and the market cap of his business, the future revenues are already built in. And so you have to ask yourself, well, what problem is he solving and who's funding that problem to be solved, right? Because you don't become the richest man in the world, right? I mean, that's a big – I mean, you're talking about the Jeff Bezoses, right, of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the Warren Buffetts
mm-hmm.
of the world. You're talking about the Bill Gates of the world. And so to be number one – with a company that is, you know, operating in the red as far as revenue, right? We have to ask the question, and we have to, and this is, and you know, my posts are always like, okay, the thought-provoking all right, make this make sense for me. Why is that the case?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the discussion I like to have, and that's the discussion I like to get into, and that's the discussion I like for people to, or the thought process I like for people to go into, because therein lies a lot of answers, potentially,
right,
as to why we see the things we see, you know, on the mainstream media, you know, on the news, right? When you can't make
mm-hmm.
it make sense, you know what I mean? You have to ask those kind of questions. So that's kind of what my post was leading into. You know what I mean? And so we got to ask those questions.
No, like, absolutely.
Why is he rich in the world?
No, absolutely. Because here's, I mean, I just love that you're able to see it in that sense. And I now, because you've done it, I see the importance
right.
of why you're doing it.
Right.
Whereas I wouldn't have thought about it. I would have just assumed that it, you know, again, haven't heard of Tesla, right? So my assumption would have
right.
been, you know, I get wind that Elon Musk has become the number one person in the world. My natural
right.
assumption is going to be the way that other people got there with an extremely profitable company that makes him a lot of money would have been my assumption. And you're saying, whoa. How did he get ahead of these guys
right.
who have been, you know, for the last 15 years going back and forth at who's number one, you know, flip-flopping, partly due to, you know, market share and things of that nature. But even with
right.
that being a part of their flip-flopping for who's number one and who's number two or three or whatever the case may be, even during that
right.
time, they still were known for profitable companies. So for this
right.
guy to surpass and become number one with the company that he's most known for in the red, like you said, it's,
yeah.
How did that happen? And you've long been talking about the power of celebrity, which you've never knocked it. You've
yeah.
always understood it. But you are saying,
right.
wow, we're at a phase in the world where celebrities is about to be equal or has surpassed infrastructure, demand and supply, actual products, which, again, you've been knowing with technology this was coming, at least from the,
right.
you know, the William I've been getting to know, and I'm only saying this because I've learned it from you. But
yeah.
it was eye-opening and concerning to you, I would assume, due to
well,
this
yeah.
happening at this time, at this moment, with everything that's going
yeah.
on in the world.
Yeah, everything that's going on in the world. And if you've been in tune with what he's doing, like he's you know, he also has SpaceX, which really
SpaceX.
Is not a it's not a public company. It's kind of a private contracting company with the government. So he's, you know, every day during this time, right, he's launching satellites and rockets into space. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that gets my attention, especially, like you said, again. And celebrity, it's not a new thing in terms of monetization, right? Like,
right.
If you look at our past, some of our best presidents have been – or even our most controversial presidents have really been
mm-hmm.
big in the space, right? Just our most recent one,
mm-hmm.
Donald Trump, big celebrity
right.
coming in, a big celebrity, and he used that celebrity, obviously. Ronald Reagan was an actor, right? Big celebrity,
absolutely.
Right? What about our best presidents? Kennedy, huge celebrity. So
absolutely.
Celebrity has always been leveraged, right? And celebrity
correct.
Will be adopted to move things in a certain direction. So Elon Musk isn't anything new in regards to maximizing and leveraging his celebrity. It's just
right.
how much he has been able to leverage that at this point in time of transition, right? And one thing we can all agree on is that we are going through disruption and transition. The question is, what are we transitioning to? What are the problems? And what are the problems that Elon Musk is solving? And the thing that I always really get connected to is everything that you talk about on your shows, everything that we talk about, whether it's what you talked about tonight, which is vaccines, vaccination, pandemic, whether we're talking about cryptocurrency and currency and finance and what that looks like in the dollar, the devaluation of the dollar being printed over and over and over, and it's losing its value, and what we're transitioning to in terms of, you know, currency. I mean, being able to travel freely or not travel freely, and the things that we're able to do now that we, you know, or can't do now that we were able to do just a year or two ago. Like, how is all of this playing a part into where we are going? And it's all connected. Like, I have my opinions about, you know, about what it is, but it's the type of things we need to look too. At the end of the day, we can have conversations all day, and this is much longer than 30 minutes. But my concern is always, Montoya, always my concern is making sure that my people, right, stay relevant and current as to what that change looks like so we don't fall behind, so we don't get caught, you know, slipping and be further behind, especially with the integration of technology, especially when, and you know, you talk about STEM all the time, right? And you know how we fall behind. We've already fallen behind when it comes to, you know, STEM. Now, on top of that, when you're putting in this level of the what I call the fourth industrial revolution, which is basically utilizing and leveraging technology to a degree by which is, you know, people haven't even seen up until this point. I mean, I'm talking about a systemic paradigm shift in how we live in regards to the fourth industrial revolution, utilizing technology to change how we live. We are not going back to the old system. We are not going back to the old system. So with that being said, we have to adopt the new system. I actually had a post the other day, and I'm not familiar. Are you familiar? Do you, Nika White? She's Nika White Consulting. Do you remember her? Nika White, she went to BHP.
The name sounds familiar. I can't picture her right now.
Well, she's a business owner. She's does consulting for corporations for inclusion, right? Which is a great purpose, right? It's about inclusion. It's about inclusion. So she does that, and she did it was really cool. It was a reflective post for 2020 that she did that was based on her business, right? She's an African American woman. She has her own business, Nika White Consulting. It's her name, and she did a post about her 2020 reflections. And what she did a lot was she would go to corporations and actually do speeches at the corporations. But obviously the pandemic, like many other businesses, impacted her ability to do business the way that she had done it in the past. And so what was so beautiful about the reflective post that she made, and I'm only talking about her publicly because she already made the post publicly, right? So I'm talking about the post. But she reflected and she showed and she said, basically, she didn't cry about, you know, the change in her inability to go to these corporations and have these speeches that she got monetized for, that she got paid for. She had to change the way she presented her value to the marketplace. And what she did was she adopted the technology. So she started using, you know, like you do, she started using Zoom. She started creating these groups. She started doing so many different things, leveraging the technology so well that she was able to hire like 5 or 6 more employees during this time, during COVID, right? She was able to scale up, right? And this is the point I'm trying to make to get with this is we have to be able to adjust to the change in a positive way. The change is going to change. It's going to happen. What's going to happen? You can climb as many, you know, state capitol walls as you want to, right? You can put your feet on as many desks as you want to. You can scream as loud as you want to at the end of the day. Black, white, green, yellow, orange, we are going to be forced to move towards, again, what I refer to as the fourth industrial revolution, where we have to adapt and we have to integrate and we have to internalize the usage of technology in order to scale our ability to make money, right, to make money and prosper in this new environment that we're going to be aggressively moving to over the next 4 years. And this new administration is going to bring that in aggressively. And we have to be ready, especially African Americans. We cannot afford to wait. We cannot afford to wait. We can't do it. We can't wait on a check. We can't wait on a $600 check, $500 check, $1,000 check. We can't wait. We have to do what Nika White did. We have to be proactive in adopting the tools that were already there for us. We just were never forced to use them, right? Even you, Montoya, I've seen you changed the way you deliver a lot of your content. You've really, and I got to give you props for this, you've really adopted and integrated the use of technology into what you had always been doing before, where it was just mainly radio is your thing. But again, you understood, hey, I got to change the way that I deliver my value to my consumers, to my customers, to my listeners. I have to adopt. If I don't, I'm going to die. And that's what scares me. And gives me, you know, it gives me pause when I know that our people, right, are not on this yet. And that's why I continue to feed. It's a long spoon. I feed them with a long spoon, and you see that every on my post. It's
mm-hmm.
like everybody doesn't get it. But I'm consistent in feeding, because I know at one point, someday, the people that listen to me and the people that understand what I'm saying are going to wake up and they're going to do that and they're going to move in that direction because we have to. We must. You know, and
yeah,
again,
we
can go deeper.
Yeah.
Specifics.
No, absolutely. Well, I got Michael on the line, so we're about to go deeper because that's just what this brother does. And I'm pretty, and I know he's probably just sitting back, enjoying, taking it all in. He's built and patient like
mm-hmm.
that. But Michael jumped in the line with us, man. I think you heard enough to just kind of jump right in here, man. But thanks a lot for being with us. Go ahead, brother.
No, man, it's always good, good to jump in this situation because, you know, for me, the idea of celebrity, like things we've talked about, I think they're absolutely phenomenal topics. Like, again, the fourth industrial revolution, which to me is not even industrial at all, is kind of like highlighting some of the points that we're doing. Most of the stuff that we're talking about is really intangible, whether we're talking about the leverage of, you know, social influence by a celebrity or the leverage that technology brings to the table. And technology has always been kind of a leveraging effect, has a commoditizing effect to certain things that at one point in time would have a premium. But, you know, using Elon Musk, so I've had a love-grown-to-hate relationship with Elon Musk, and it probably has some sort of, you know, overlay with his increasing celebrity in that regard. But I put it to this way, when we look at it's two things that always bother me about the conversation about, you know, who's the richest person or, you know, richest person as credited because of the floating nature of net worth. Most of our people, or at least people that, you know, don't deal in financial markets on a day-to-day basis, don't realize that that value floats up and down every day because most of those guys' wealth, whether you're talking about you know, Elon today or Bezos tomorrow or Zuckerberg or, you know, just take your pick. Most of their wealth, and I mean most as in 99% of their wealth, is tied to the value, the floating value of their equity shares of their public and privately traded companies. And like you said, with like SpaceX has done well in terms of revenue. You know, they're the largest, you know, space exploration company by revenue. Tesla's, you know, has finally become profitable. But if you look at their balance sheets, if you look at their cash flows and things of that nature, those are, you know, their capital stack is full of debt, full of convertible notes, things of that nature. And yes, that may be surprising. But to me, I think there's too much of a fixation on this point of the right now of wealth because there is something else that is behind all of this that is driving a lot of it that I hadn't heard mentioned yet. And it's the fact that we're living I did hear part of it. You basically said that, you know, right now we're looking at a devaluation of the dollar. That is, I mean, you could say it's a devaluation of the dollar. It's more of a monetary policy enacted by the Fed, which has kept, you know, again, the stock market buoyed in 2020. Double-digit returns in the stock market after a 40% drop in 3 weeks. You know, the largest big switchover in change in wealth in history. You know, people say it's a result of the pandemic and things of that nature. But there are some other aspects of, I guess, what's going on as we are in this transition to a more intangible world, a world that is more heavily reliant on technology than ever before. But we're also seeing a socioeconomic shift that has been exacerbated by this gargantuan wealth inequality gap, which is, to this point, still very unchecked. And I think
right.
that just like we see the soaring wealth of these publicly and some privately traded companies, we're also seeing this wealth gap being exacerbated. And while we're talking about what could be in terms of the future, I think a lot of things our people should be mindful of. All the things you said are perfect, that we need to be on STEM, that we need to harness a lot of, we have to, not just from a, you know, left behind standpoint, but almost from a, I guess you say, a survival standpoint, because there will be a substantial, difference, like you said, in the way that we live. And it's beyond pretty much anything we've seen in these generations. And that's why my qualm really comes from with the people like Elon Musk and his celebrity because, yes, he's smart or not smart. My real issue with him is that with that immense amount of wealth, 150, 80, whatever billion it is, a centibillionaire, what is
right.
he actually going to do? And specifically, what is he going to do for us? To
right.
this point, you know, as much as I've liked him in the past, I always say that, you know, my roles with 180, like if any one of us on the call had 185 billion, I know black people would benefit. I would throw that, I'd put money behind it. But with Elon Musk
right.
with it, I don't see it, you know, so
right.
that's kind of where I am. And again, I think we agree wholeheartedly on the, we have got to get on the innovation side of things rapidly as a force of survival, not even like even a catch up thing, but it's like, it's a survival thing for me.
I agree 100%. 100%.
Let me say this real quick, and I want you to jump in. I want you to jump in, Billy. I just want to say something real quick.
Okay.
For the work that I do, I'll be very honest. Like you said, from Billy kind of, I mean, William threw it into the, you know, the catch-up thing, and then you kind of give even more perspective from a survival thing, and I'll be honest, listening to both of you intelligently bring this home, it scares me to think we might not do either. And I'm just putting it out there,
yeah.
And Billy, go in right there, brother.
Yeah, I actually, the way I try to explain it in layman's terms is, you know, you got to kind of identify what you're seeing happen, right? And the way I try to explain it to people is I try to use something that's really relative to what they're used to. So if you look at, you know, all civilizations or ones that really prosper have a platform of finance, right? And I'm sure Mike is Michael, correct?
Michael.
Like the foundation is, you know, banking, finance, the ability to transact, the ability to actually have equality and transact in the marketplace and have a stabilized, you know, unit of finance that you're able to do that with. So that's the foundation, right? And that's what everything starts with. And so what I believe we're seeing is just that, like Michael was saying, like the dollar is devaluing and it's moving to a different form of currency and to be more controlled. And that's a huge play. And the way I try to get people to understand the impact of that is I use Vegas a lot of times as the example, right? If you look at Vegas, everybody can understand Vegas because everybody has gone to Vegas or everybody understands what Vegas is about, right? And Vegas is a 2-mile stretch. I mean, the Vegas that everybody goes to is literally a 2-mile stretch. It's literally 2 miles. But the amount of income and the amount of money that actually flows through Vegas is incredible, right? And you can see the amount of money mm-hmm. that's actually invested in getting people to come to Vegas is incredible. It's gaudy. They have castles. They have, you know, they have waterfalls, water fountains, roller coasters. They have all of this in a 2-mile stretch. Now, the only thing that limits Vegas from scale, because you have to look at everything from a scalability standpoint, and the only thing that limits in regards to technology Vegas to scale is the ability to control the finance, right? Vegas has its own system of finance. And once you understand that concept, it has its own system of finance, and it has to be controlled. So no matter what part you play in Vegas, you are part of that system that's different from any other financial system you see in the world. That's why everybody in the world comes to this 2-mile stretch. Now, what we're getting into is we're getting into technology that's going to allow the same concept of Vegas to scale across the world. And so you got to think of that conceptually, like you got to think of that, like that's the technology we have on the financial side now, is we have the ability to control. When you go to Vegas, you don't even see the money move. As a patron, as a customer, you don't even see the money move. All you see is you trading your money in and trading your money out, but you don't see how the money is managed or controlled. So we're at a place in time now where we have the technology where money can be controlled on that fashion. So Vegas can be scaled. And what you're seeing is Vegas as a pilot. This is how I explain it to people. It's a pilot program. The idea is to scale Vegas across the entire world. So now you shut Vegas down. You shut sports and entertainment down, right? And what you do is you keep people in one place. So Elon Musk, he's solving a problem. The problem is overtoxification through industrialization. His job is to solve the problem of minimizing carbon dioxide so we don't kill people. You understand what I'm saying? On the scalability. When we emerge, so he is being paid for future. He is being paid for propulsion solutions. He's not being paid for Tesla. He's not being paid for SpaceX. He's being paid to understand how we can get propulsion and get rid of engines across every industry that requires engines.
Wow.
So we don't overtoxify people, so we don't die of these pandemics by overtoxification. And so if you have to put these things together and see, now we have the ability. If you look at every industry, you can do everything you've done in Vegas, you can do it in the privacy of your own home now, right? If you want to be entertained,
right.
if you want food, if you want whatever it is, if you want to gamble, gambling is going to 15x, right? When these guys can't go to these games, you can't have 100,000 people in an arena anymore. These guys are not going to stop watching sports. What they're going to do is they're going to form a new group. You guys still there?
Right.
Yeah. You're killing it right now. I'm just blown away that you could even think of all of this. Go ahead. I want you to finish because I definitely want to hear what Michael has to say. I'm just taking it all in. I want to hear what Michael says to everything you're saying. Go ahead, brother. Now, we're here.
Yeah. They're going to form a new group. They're basically going to form a new group, and it's going to scale and the scalability. So the technology has always been there to scale the pilot of Vegas. The only thing that hasn't been able to scale is the ability to control the money. Enter what they call blockchain. So if you understand the technology of blockchain, you understand how money can then be controlled in a fashion where you can scale the concept of Vegas. Incomes, what they call universal base income, incomes. So now, and the scary part, the thing that really scares me is losing your religion, because that's a whole different conversation. But we all know, I've known Christians that go to Vegas and they lose their religion. Everything that happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What happens when Vegas comes to your house or comes to your community?
Ooh.
You understand what I'm saying? We can see that. We can see that in the social and our social morals. And
yes.
Ethics. We can see that eroding as we continue to integrate more technology.
I know you didn't expect WAP to come out in the middle of this conversation, but WAP is the exact WAP is the perfect example of what you're talking about right now.
Exactly.
WAP can be number one in the country. It's the perfect example of it coming to your home. But go ahead, brother.
Exactly. Now I'm gonna go ahead and let Michael jump in so he can give his but that's I just wanted to get that in there, right? And we gotta be conscious of that.
I love the Vegas analogy, like you said, because it's something that everybody can point to, you know, but for me in particular, I always, like I told you, it's like even my fixation on the Elons and things of that nature, my one worry is not that he's, so I see the aim or I see the narrative that he's solving a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I also see the narrative that he's proposing a solution to perhaps a problem that maybe doesn't exist, or maybe one that's under. It's a little bit. I wouldn't even dare say it's a conspiracy theory, but I put it this way. One of the narratives, or one of my issues about SpaceX and propulsion things of that nature, is that as I look at this culture of celebrity, it's almost. It's just going back to what you were talking about. One of the things we have to be careful about, and one of the reasons why we as the Black community must actively become engaged in this fourth industrial revolution, and perhaps at a different way than maybe even space exploration and stuff, not because that stuff's not attainable by us. No, we have, we've got tons of minds and brains that are just inaccessible, but it's just that lack of access. I still, to this day, and especially given what happened on 1-6-21, have this underlying current that says that there's still, instead of inclusion, instead of technology being used and leveraged to include, I see that technology would be used to exclude and to
Absolutely.
A very dangerous level. Like one of the things that, and I know this is going to sound, but I mean, it's Sunday night, so I can kind of get down with it, but it's like one of the things that bothered me, I guess, about, you know, the Capitol situation. And, you know, that may seem like it's a little tangential, but I said this before, just kind of musing about it. Well, we had, you know, Jethro and the Hillbillies, Trumpanzees, or whatever you want to call them, storm, you know, the Capitol building. The eerie thing that got me about all of that, all the, you know, the violence and everything else and just the unruliness, the, you know, the ease of access, the ease of getting out, maybe sometimes the lack of violence, was that at the end of that, there were black people cleaning up the glass and the rubble and the mess inside the building. And to me, I kind of chuckled at that in only the sense that you can chuckle at maybe a Greek tragedy or Greek comedy, was the sense that I see with Elon and all his resources, like it came out in the news, like the Arca, you boys, he's selling all his assets to, you know, he's really serious about Mars and colonizing Mars. I thought to myself, I said, I wonder how many black people are going to be on Mars with him.
Exactly.
You know, and I wonder how many are going to be left here to clean up this mess of a planet that we've inherited, you know, that we've been left with to deal with. Because if you look at it, I still say that America was still built by us. America, to some degree, has been sustained by us, but America has not really remunerated our people to any different level. And it's always been, again, it's like use and then it's refuse, if you think about it. And you can look at refuse or refuse any way you want to look at that word. That's just, this is me playing around with words. But the threat that I see here is not, because again, it's like, even if you look at his hyperloops and you look at all these things and technologies he's using, if you actually look at the sustainability and the way that his factories are built up, I don't really see any innovation there. I don't really see any green sustaining type thing there. I see, again, I see an exodus to somewhere else, to more resources. I see just like this vacuum of financial resources that have gone to an extreme level. I mean, we have a 0.00001% owning 97% of the feasible assets, the stuff that has value. And that's just in this country of only 330-something million out of a planet of almost 8 billion. When do we include the rest of the planet? And my thing is, it's like, I don't think there's a plan to do that. And above, if you name from the top down of the people, like you say, these celebrities, these innovators, these people that we point to, almost like what you were saying, Billy, about you ignore the mainstream media, one of my reasons why I do too is because I no longer, and I used to keep up, I promise you, I used to keep up the Ford 400, all this other stuff, but I ignore them now, ignore them now for that same. It's almost like a disdain because I'm like, I've got to figure out how in the world do we corner off a market that they can't necessarily touch and innovate, create barriers, create
almost
monetary
almost innovate in our own way.
Yes.
Yeah, innovate
like
in our own way.
The same way. Yeah, the same Vegas that you
because
talk
here's
about,
here's
you
one thing. Let me throw this out real quick because y'all are just. I mean, I'm loving this, man. Just kind of just taking it all in. But I just want to. I think I hear some of what you're saying, Michael. And I just want to kind of, you know, in a sense, put it in my terms, and that would be that. In a sense, as all of this is going on, and this is part of what I'm about to say, and tell me if y'all think I'm correct, but I tell even people that are, you know, in a sense, just focused on us and saying, you know, a lot of times, you know, you and I've had conversations with both of you, how some people are wanting to revert back to old, and, you know, we all agree that that's backwards because nothing goes back, if you will, right?
Right.
But my butt is this, based on what you were just talking about, Michael, my butt is with the world moving the way that y'all are both saying it's moving, and I think you're absolutely right, William, in the sense that we're not necessarily keeping up, like y'all said, worried about whether we're going to thrive or survive. I do think that in the world moving that way, where I think Michael is correct that it's probably going to be our best approach, is if we could kind of get off in a corner, and in my mind, I said this just the other night, and people are like, why do you say that? Like, I'm like, if we build a quote-unquote Black Wall Street today, the world is so global that they will never worry about us like they did in 1919. Like, somebody thinks I'm crazy for that. But I think I hear you saying, Michael, that we don't have to do it in the same manner that, you know what I'm saying, that we're wasteful to the point that our whole goal to go to Mars cares about nobody. That ain't our, that ain't got to be our mindset. But we can get innovative, use technology in a way to kind of create our own niche, not copy that model, and end up taking care of ourselves, because knowing that those people are not going to worry about us anymore because we're not in the race dilemma that we were in the 1400s.
That's what I'm saying. We've had 50 years of protections, you know, however well you look at them. But the reason why Black Wall Street burned down was because the Civil Rights Act weren't there.
There were none.
You know, and again, it's not saying
there were none.
You know,
exactly.
They weren't a panacea of just, oh, now we're free and we're going to do whatever. But just like, you know, Billy was talking about with Anika White, I think one of the superpowers of our culture, especially Black American culture, is that we have an ingrained, because of survival, we've always been so close to surviving. That innate innovation, if we could tap into some of the resources, I think that's why they keep a lot of the resources backed off. If we could leverage our own culture of innovation with just a little bit more resources, we don't have to worry about competing because we're not even thinking on the same level. Because, again, I think a lot of those innovators, so-called innovators, they're really bringing up old stuff. We've got some minds out there right now that are like, I've seen them, you know, from young kids to whatever. They're beyond them.
Right, I agree. I think if you just think about the concept of influence, right, without without the technology,
they pull it off. We pull it off all the time, every day.
We pull it off all the time, and we influence more still than the ones who aren't listed, obviously, with the resource and the money source behind them. And that's the thing. Like, we get that same amount of, you know, Michael Jordans. We get the Barack Obamas. We get the, even at a lower level, we command, even at hip-hop, music, fashion, right? We have so much influence without the resources. So imagine if we had resources,
Woo!
Which makes sense to keep us resources. Yeah, so in this technology, and again, we're moving into this fourth industrial revolution where those technologies are going to slowly be presented to us. They're going to roll out over these next 4 years.
I see what you're saying. Yep.
And some of this is really going to blow. It's going to blow our minds in regards to the things that can be done, right? And half the people, and you know, I'm focused on finance right now mainly because I know it all starts with the platform, which is finance. That is the foundation, and that is being right now. That is the policies are being set. The OCC just gave regulations to the banks to actually use digital currency and cryptocurrency. Like, these things are being passed, and nobody. I mean, very small percentage. You know, maybe guys like Michael, myself, guys like you, Montel, guys like us, we're having the conversations about it. But 9.9 out of 10 people do not understand these changes in financial policy at the banking institutional level. They don't understand what's going on. They don't understand that the fiat money is being, you know, is being reduced in regards to value.
Yeah.
And they don't understand. Rich people are seeing this and going, look, if you guys are putting 15%, 20%, 25% more capital supply in the front end, I'm losing money. I need a place to invest. I need a vehicle investment place. I need a place. And real estate and stock market is not really doing it for us anymore. So what are we doing? Like, how are we going to get that 15%, that 20%, that 25% back out the back end if you're putting it in the front end?
Yes. Hey, I know this is kind of off topic for a second, but I'm cutting in. But man, our next mastermind gonna be dope as hell, y'all. Just throwing it out to both of y'all a part of the Middle Dialogue Mastermind because we talk about crypto and just getting a full understanding of what that looks like. Trying to give our own people like who already in the, you know, because again, I picked mastermind because y'all all doing y'all damn thing. But the reality is, we got to keep getting each other up to speed. And here's an opportunity to make sure the people that are doing that thing keep doing that thing. Because they're not getting left behind because of what the 0.01% is doing.
Yeah.
We could do that shit too. So I love the fact that y'all talking like this. Go ahead though, man. I'm sorry.
Appreciate it, man. I'm just saying the biggest issue we have now is not them preventing us from doing anything. It's them keeping the resource of technology away from us to allow us. It's kind of like the conversation we were having tonight about the Tuskegee Institute,
Experiment.
Yeah, what were we talking about? The Tuskegee.
The Tuskegee experiment.
The Tuskegee experiment. It's not that set where it's semantics. It's not that they were giving it to us. It's just that they were keeping the cure from us, right? And that is always the case. That's always going to continue to be the case. They're always going to leverage those resources to create more resources and keep those resources away from us and keep that leverage so they can always stay ahead of us, you know, two, three. It's almost like Michael said, when they can go, look, when they can go to Mars, this is what Elon Musk, when he can go to Mars and can develop Mars, they live separate from us here on Earth, right? They live in exclusive neighborhoods with no black people here on Earth. So who do you think is going to be living on Mars? You know what I mean? And we have to have that mentality.
Right.
We have to have that mentality because we have to say, okay, and we have to always be looking at that and looking at this technology. We're in that space now. We have to look at it, and we have to say, how can we leverage it? How can we attain it? How can we use it? We have to learn it first, though. We have to know, and we have to do our research,
right.
Do our due diligence, and we have to learn. We have to learn these things.
My partner, one of my young partners here that I really respect in the Atlanta area, I always quote him on this, but it's a brother by the name of Eldridge Washington, and he says, technology is disrespectful. And that's what you're talking about. Once we learn it, then we can be disrespectful and compete in a way that you never could. The market does not have to control you. And with our innovation, getting access to that damn technology, learning it, we can disrespectfully create our own shit.
100%.
Right.
100%. It's a liberator. Technology liberates and it enslaves. It does both. It liberates and it enslaves. It's both. A gun will both liberate you and it will enslave you, and it's technology.
Yes.
And that it depends on how the person who is using it decides to use it. That's it. But at the end of the day, it can liberate and it can enslave. But you have to have access to it in order to do either one. You understand
either
what
one,
I'm
right.
saying? And that's the thing that concerns me the most is that we are falling further behind in this century, right, in this fourth industrial revolution than we probably were in the 60s and the 50s, because the jump is going to be so significant. The jump is going to be so significant, and it's going to happen fast.
Right, the transfer. The transfer,
yeah. And crazy thing is, for whatever reason, the United States is behind on all of the emerging technology. Like, if you look at, we do international business, so I see Malaysia, I see China, I see all of these guys. They're teaching. This is what they're doing. They're educating their society right now on, and these guys are being reskilled. I'm talking about guys who've done things for 30, 40 years. They're being reskilled right now to understand how to operate drones, how to repair drones, how to use this emerging technology. And for whatever reason, the United States is not doing that with us. They're not doing that.
So let me tell you this, because we only got a couple minutes. I'm gonna take a guess at the for whatever reason. And this is just a guess from my study of history. We only got a couple of minutes. So my guess is, when you say for whatever reason, is I tell people, and this is how I started to learn to get out of, black versus white. It was when I studied what the Japanese did after World War II. So we only got a minute and a half. I'll make it quick as hell. So one thing about the Japanese in World War II, part of the reason World War II happened was obviously everybody remembers Hitler in Germany, right? But ultimately, it was two forces that wanted to take over the world, if you will. They were imperialistic to the nth degree, right? The Japanese, that is still, in a sense, their mindset. We're talking about a country that's, 5,000 years old or whatever. So their concept of time is much greater than a country that's been around for only 400 years, right? So 400 years is a drop in the bucket to them. And while the world said, hey, y'all can't build a navy again, oh, they're like, okay, we'll take that. So they decided to become, okay, how do we compete? They came, copied Germany, copied United States, copied it, and then became better at technology than us because we would still put money towards put our finances toward building weapons. Well, they just put their finances, because they couldn't build weapons, only towards technology. And so I would say, because Japan has been in the backyard of those countries, it becomes vicinity that all those other countries are saying, oh, look at what Japan's doing. So I'm not surprised to hear that they are well ahead technology-wise than the West, who still builds weapons. But we will not be fighting wars in that manner 50 years from now.
Right.
That's the reality.
Right.
We got 20 seconds. Thank y'all, man. It was amazing. We got to share this one with all our friends, because I didn't promote it to nobody. So let's get this one out, because this was hell. The next mastermind going to be that thing, for real, for real. Thank both of y'all. Y'all are amazing.
All right.
And we'll do a part two if y'all think we need to. But thank y'all, man. We out.
Billy, appreciate you, man.
You too, Mike.